Okay, Sam and I were kind of talking about the same thing. She wanted to go first. And I was wondering why. I was trying to ask her why. Now I realize. Because I'm going to talk about identity, and she really kind of started hitting on a lot of some, even using the same scriptures that I was using. And, I just want to talk about identity, and hopefully not in the same way that Sam got tired of hearing over and over again, but a way that makes sense. And it's a way that makes sense just because we just forget our identity. And that's, I think that's just the main thing the enemy uses against us, is that so we will forget who we are. And that's the worst problem in society now. I just have found that people just are feeding our, we would say we're all millennials, I guess. We're in the same generation. I'm not 30 yet. But, they're basically saying, like, literally their Instagram tag would be like, I'll just do what I feel. You know, it's like, feels good, do it. And, that's good for, like, that moment, maybe. But it just leads you down a dark, dark path. And it leads you to forget who you really are. And, like, so much so that, you know, like Sam was saying, the Lord never leaves, but you just get hard and you forget who you are. And I just want to talk about what God created us for. And as I talk about creating and how God has created you to be a son, I want you to remember that God did give you your own personality. And this doesn't really have to do as much with what I have to talk about, but as Sam was talking about how God gave you unique personalities to be yourself. And one of the scriptures a lot of people quote is, well, John the Baptist, and I'll put this in context for you. So John the Baptist, remember he says in the Bible that I must decrease while you must increase. And that's like a really famous scripture, probably on a t-shirt somewhere. And, or I know the I am second is everywhere. And that's kind of, I guess, in the same way. But that, out of context, kind of means differently what it actually he was saying. Because John the Baptist was like the dude, like the main guy on the scene. He was Jesus' cousin. But when John the Baptist realized that Jesus was the Son of God, he said, I must decrease, like my ministry must decrease. It doesn't mean like my personality. Like I need to become just like Jesus, like a little Jesus, like Sam was saying. Like, no, like he was just saying, you know, my ministry, like, okay, this is the Son of God, like, this is the disciple. I should be his disciple. Like his ministry should go before mine. I've made a path, and then when the Holy Spirit came, so Jesus got baptized. John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he went out in the wilderness, and that's when he realized that. So I kind of just wanted to hit on that. I thought of that when Sam was talking, and so. Yeah, so the question of identity. I'm going to start off with a scripture. I want y'all to listen to these scriptures too. They're not going to be long. I'm going to say I'm kind of slow, but they're really good. Okay, so Acts 17:28 says, it is through him that we live and function and have our identity. Just as our own poets have said, our lineage comes from him. So, what does that say? It is through him, our lineage comes from him. So, like, your literal genealogy is from him. Like, they're trying to hammer this home, even past the Gospels, that, hey, like, don't forget who you are. You're from him. And so, like, a lot of questions people ask you guys growing up, it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's a good, practical question, and it's a normal question, and, you know, I guess there's a place for it, because you do need to support your family, but I feel like it's overdone a lot. Because when you get older, when you meet someone, the first thing they ask you after your name, before even your last name, is what do you do? And most of the time, what do you do is really insignificant to who you are. And you might even hate what you do. That doesn't define who you are. And so you kind of just get in this trap. And I get it. If you work, you know, spend most of your day doing something, you do become that to some degree. And it's just hard to track back and say, well, no, that's not necessarily who I am. That's not what, like, I am a son of God. So, let's start from the beginning here. I'm going to start with Genesis. So it starts in the Bible. Genesis 1 says, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So as Sam was saying, I don't need to repeat it, God created you in his image. He created you to be like him, like to look like. I think that we probably sound and look like God. Y'all know Jonathan David Helser, the worship leader. I've heard him tell this story before, that his son was singing in the other room, and he's had this revelation, like, man, that sounds like me. It's like, oh my God, like, that's what God thinks about me when I worship. Like, Jonathan, like, that's, you sound like me. Like, I sound, that I'm your son. I am your lineage. Like, I sound like you. So, that's just a good metaphor to do that. And because he created us in his own image. Like, that literally means, like, you look and you sound like God. Like, he put you on earth to do his works, to look and sound like him. Okay? With your own personality, your own unique purpose, your own unique thing. So, from the beginning, when we talk about forgetting who we are, forgetting where we came from, why God made us, it really starts with Adam and Eve. And so, God made everything. God was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. They were naming the animals. And, you know, I'm sure God, they knew how they were created. God told them, you know, like, I made you from dust, and I made you from his rib. Like, I created you. I made you to be in union together with me walking along. But, you know, the snake comes along, and he tells them, you know, like, I can make you like God. Like, I can give you wisdom. I can make you like God. And for some reason, they forgot. They forgot who they were. And they gave in to the enemy. And that's what we do in our everyday lives. That's what we do. We say, there's something better than God. And for some reason, we just forget, because that's the enemy's number one tactic. He literally does it. That's his go-to. He did it to Jesus. So when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he went in the wilderness, and he tempted Jesus the same way. Like, he's like Jesus wouldn't know that that's how he rolls, you know? So he said, you know, Jesus, I can give you domain over this. Like, just say the word. You got it. And Jesus didn't not know who he was. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. So he didn't get it. Jesus said his bread is to do the will of God. He knew that, and so he didn't question it. And so it's just really cool to think of that. It kind of happened like in the beginning, and then he just tried the same thing again. And Jesus just demonstrated as the second Adam, as we say that. It means Jesus came again to redeem us, and he passed. He passed the test. So what you believe and what you think about yourself and what you know who you are, that decides what you value, like what you think is good, what you think is cool, who you look up to, that decides who you value. And it changes. The further away you get from union relationship with the Lord, it changes. And you know it does. If everyone's ever had a relationship with the Lord here, you know it changes. It happens to me. You know, I'll look back and think, man, that was totally just dumb. Like, I thought what that person was saying was really cool and they were really smart, but looking back, like, you know, that person didn't know Jesus, and it wasn't that cool, and it just, they don't know what they're talking about, because they don't know the love of God. Does that make sense? Okay, let's see, where are we here? So God tells us that we are rulers and kings, and he gives us his full inheritance. So basically tells us that we're royalty. Like, what is his is ours. And so if you put that like in perspective, like, why do we settle? Why do we forget? Like, if you, let's say, like, if your family had millions of dollars and you were like in line to inherit that, like, you probably wouldn't rob a bank. Like, that wouldn't be tempting. Like, at all. Unless you just really wanted to go to jail for some reason. Like, that wouldn't be tempting. Like, if you knew you had inheritance of millions of dollars, why would you rob a bank? Unless you just, like, bumped your head and you forgot. And that's just going to, like, making that one decision would put you out of your inheritance. Because you can't use millions of dollars in jail. I guess you could if you were, like, that inside man or something. But that takes you out. And it takes you out every time. And that's what Satan uses. Because, you know, it works if we forget. All right? So I can say, I mean, that's true for me. It's like the number one source of sin in my life is that I forget that I'm a son of God. And he created me to be his son. And that's the number one thing I am. Like, I'm not a worship leader. Like, it might be maybe, like, my ministry, but that's not who I am. You know, I'm a son of God. I mean, that's what God uses, can use me to do things. But God can use me to do other things, too. I can't just say I'm this one thing. Like, you know, I'm the worship leader. For instance, like, if I go to heaven, God's just like, where are all my worship leaders? And it's just me and, like, thousands of other people. And it's not personal at all. Like, he didn't create us to be like that. I don't sound like anybody else. You know, I don't look like anybody else. I'm my own unique person. Alright, so I'm going to read another scripture that Sam read, but I'm going to look at it a little bit differently, but kind of in the same way. It's on the same theme. John 1:12. So, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay, so he's telling you that you are not born of the will of man. Like, no man, nothing that, no circumstance, like, no life events, nothing that's ever been done to you, no fact that you're just not good enough, like, that is not your will. And that's the will of man. Like, you're under the blood of Christ. Like, you are created for God. And, you know, he'll always be your father. And he never leaves. And his destiny for you will come into completion if you just learn to be intimate and love him. Because the Bible says that you were the joy set before him. So if he knew you before you were born, so there's some scriptures, you know, the scripture in Jeremiah that say, even in your mother's womb, you know, we sing that and stuff. And let's see. Okay, Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, before the cross, before any of that happened, like, God created you, and he knew you, and he put you on here for a purpose. He put you on here for a specific reason, right? So what it says about what do you want to be when you grow up, so if we go back to that question, what's your specific job for Christ? It's to be in union and intimacy and in Christ, as Sam was saying, and that just propels you to be. You couldn't be what you really wanted to be unless you get that part first. Like, if you just say, well, you know, I'm gonna, like, be a missionary, or I'm gonna be a worship leader, or a preacher, or a professional baseball player, like, that's good, but, like, God's not gonna use you in this fullness in the way unless you are intimate with him and learn to know the knowledge of his love and you embrace the love of God. Because that's what's going to get you. That's what's going to get you there, because that's going to be a pure hearted. And then the gifts will come. And then, you know, God will propel you in different influences or different parts, vocations, or different just areas that you can just cultivate through your relationship with the Lord. Like, he's not looking for your performance. He wants your heart. And really, that's the way you can be the true expression of love to the world around you. That's the way the world's going to say, man, this person, like, they're different. They're not different because they're, like, really good at something. Like, they're different because the way they're really good at something. They're different because they obviously have something else that's propelling them to be able to do what they're really good at for purpose. Amen? All right, so I have a quote that I want to read. It says, "Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source. So before God, I am intimate. Before people, I'm a servant. Before the powers of hell, I'm a ruler with no tolerance for their influence." I think that just really kind of puts the different assignments in life into perspective. Like, your royalty, your son and daughter of God, you're a child of God. That's who you are. That's your identity. That you were made for Him, by Him, to be like Him, to do what He already appointed beforehand for you to do. And you just have to walk in it. It says that in Scripture. It says just walk in what He's already told you to do beforehand. But you can't walk in it if you don't know who you are. You can't walk in something you don't know that you're walking in. You know? And the way you do that, you can't just wake up and say it, it's through intimacy with the Lord. It's just position yourself to just love God, to live a first commandment life. That's the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and strength. And then, you know, everything else, all the other commandments, they just kind of fall into place there. Okay, so I think we're going to maybe open up for some ministry. So is anyone, is that speaking to anybody's heart? Do you get it, how we forget? I mean, we just forget. We forget who we really are. And that being a Christian is the coolest thing in the world. You know, and it's not that hard. We just have to wake up and say yes to God every day. And we have to say, you know, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm going to get to do really cool things for the Lord. But, you know, He's my Father. And it gives me a great pleasure, and He's my life source. Amen.